It's called Operation High Tide. A team of scientists from the University of Hawaii, collaborating with other experts, they're working on a project that they expect to be launched into space sometime after October 2020. UH just got word that the team is in the queue to deliver what's called a CubeSat, which is a small research satellite. It's to collect valuable data looking at things like farmland in North America and volcanic activity across the globe. It will collect data for at least a month, though it's designed to stay for about a year in orbit. Rob Wright is the interim director of the Institute of Geophysics and Planetary Science. He talked about the upcoming mission, funded by a $5.5 million grant.
Well, I'm the principal investigator at the University of Hawaii. We then have other investigators at the University of Hawaii from the Institute of Geophysics and Planetology and also from the Space Flight Laboratory. Space Flight Laboratory is a collaboration between my institute and then also the College of Engineering at the University of Hawaii. So we have a large internal team. We have 16 team members at UH, and 12 of those either got or are getting their degrees at UH. So we have several undergraduate students and several recent graduates who are working on the team. We're partnering with the NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory, so they're providing a piece of technology that's going to be integrated into the mission. We also have partners at some smallish technology companies on the mainland who are working on various aspects of the mission. One is a company called Sirianisat, who are kind of taking some of the science lead. Quest, who are helping us with the thermal modeling, and then a company called West Coast Solutions, who are helping us with issues related to how we cool the instrument down when we're in space.
So what's the mission?
So the mission's called HiTi, which is a contraction of hyperspectral thermal imager. So it's the instrument is a long-wave infrared thermal imager. So it measures the amount of light which Earth's surface and atmosphere emits or radiates at 25 different wavelengths or frequencies. So that's like different colors in the invisible part of the spectrum. And with that instrument, we can work out from space the temperature of things on Earth's surface, and we can also work out something about their chemical composition. So that's the instrument. The instrument will be hosted by a 6U CubeSat, so commonly referred to as the bus. So the instrument goes in the 6U CubeSat, and the job of everything which isn't the instrument is to keep the instrument functional. So the CubeSat is 6U, and a U is a unit, which is a volume of 10 centimeters by 10 centimeters by 10 centimeters. So the spacecraft is going to be 30 centimeters long by 20 centimeters wide by 10 centimeters deep. So it's about the size of a large shoebox. And everything goes in there. There will be a few solar panels which deploy after we're in space, and they're going to capture the sunlight, which is going to power the instrument and the radios and the cooler and the onboard computers. But yeah, so it's a long-wave imaging instrument to detect the, work out the chemistry and temperature of gases in Earth's atmosphere or the solid Earth.
So what are we going to be looking at? What will we be mapping once you get this thing up there?
So we'll be doing a couple of things. One, we'll be looking to make measurements of soil moisture content. So if you take dry soil and you shine the sun on it for a while, then the soil heats up. So we know that when you go out onto the beach and your feet get really wet. Your feet get real hot when they're walking on dry sand. If you saturate that soil with moisture, then it's colder. And we know that as well, because when you walk down on the edge of the ocean to get some relief from the hot dry sand, your feet cool down pretty quickly. Now, farmers are interested in how much moisture the soil contains. It tells us lots of things. For example, do we need to irrigate that land? We don't want to waste water. Water is a valuable resource. So we're going to make some measurements of soil moisture content, which will largely rely on the temperature measuring capability of the HiTi instrument. We have a strong interest in volcanic hazards in the Institute of Geophysics and Planetology. So we're going to make measurements around the world of the gases which are being emitted by various volcanoes. So whenever a volcano is about to reawaken from a period of dormancy, fresh magma has to come to the Earth's surface. Fresh magma carries magmatic gases, one of which is sulfur dioxide, so the source of the VOG that we see in Hawaii. And the instrument we have, because of this spectral imaging capability, will allow us to detect the presence of sulfur dioxide at these volcanoes, but also work out how much sulfur dioxide is coming out of the ground.
Right, because unfortunately right now our volcano isn't really pumping like it was last year. Otherwise, we'd be looking at that too.
Well, we will acquire data of Hawaii, but you're right. At the moment, if we want to look at volcanic gases, then Kilauea is not the best place to do it as of today. But there are plenty of volcanoes around the world that will allow us to demonstrate the capability of the instrument to make those measurements.
You're looking at these areas, you're going to collect gases, look at the soil moisture in some of our farmlands, I would imagine. But you're really testing the equipment and the technology.
That's right. So this was funded by NASA via a program called INVEST, which stands for In Space Validation of Earth Science Technologies. So NASA currently knows how to make these measurements. What we have been funded to demonstrate is, can we make these same measurements using some new and innovative technologies in such a way that we could do it as well but cheaper than it could be done previously? So a regular NASA mission might be $500 million. This entire mission is $5.6 million. It's to demonstrate the capability of new technologies that have recently been invented or developed. So, for example, a key piece of technology in the instrument, as I mentioned, we're going to make measurements of the amount of energy radiated at different frequencies or wavelengths or colors. To do that, you have to take the light that comes in, which is of all wavelengths, and split it into its different wavelengths. So in school, people did this with a prism. You can also do this with filters. If you take a compact disc and flip it over and you see the color of the rainbow, a piece of metal with narrow grooves etched in it will also split light into its different colors. We're not using any of those techniques. We're going to use a technique called interferometry, for which there's a long explanation. Mm-hmm. But the key point is that the key piece of technology was invented by one of the co-investigators on the project, a person called Paul Lucy, who's a member of the faculty in the in HIGP. So we've demonstrated that on various NASA development projects before, and when we wrote the proposal, NASA was interested in demonstrating this in space. The Jet Propulsion Laboratory has recently developed some new detector materials. So after the light has been collected by a lens and has passed through the interferometer, you then have to measure the amount of light at each one of those colors, right? And that's the measurement that you actually use to derive the science data. Those detectors are difficult to make and they're expensive. And JPL has developed a new chemical mixture of materials which allows us to make high-quality measurements potentially for less money. So the new technology from JPL is a new detector chip which is actually going to measure the amount of light that we collect from the ground.
And because UH has been involved in a number of different things related to NASA, how would you characterize this? I mean, how big of a deal is it to have a CubeSat up there?
UH does get a lot of money from NASA for various things. UH has launched a couple of CubeSats before. HSFL currently has a CubeSat which they're doing the final instrument integration in our clean rooms in the basement of the post building. This will be the most capable small spacecraft that UH will have launched in terms of it will be larger than the other couple of CubeSats that we've launched, and the instrument on it will make a larger suite of earth science related measurements of the Earth's surface.
Okay, so the largest CubeSat, and then probably just as far as the depth and the breadth of the information that you're trying to glean.
Yeah, we'll be able to answer multiple science questions using this particular instrument suite on this spacecraft.
Okay. Well, gosh, you better get busy, huh?
I was on the phone from about 5 o'clock this morning talking about various aspects of this tour. I've been on 4 other NASA science teams in the past at various stages. But this is the first time that I've been involved in the development from the ground up. You know, so for other science teams, there's one that I'm on. The first science team meeting was held when I was in high school, right? And now I'm on the science team, but mainly in a data analysis capacity. I've been involved in another science team where my involvement began just before launch. So the design had all been done. I was just involved in planning mission operations and then analyzing data. But yeah, this is the first one that I've been involved from T0.
Yeah, way more invested in this. Yeah.
Well, we have to deliver the spacecraft in October 2020. That's basically when we have to put it in a box and ship it off to NASA and say this is good to launch. When it's launched is at the moment not determined. So we have been approved for a CubeSat Launch Alliance launch. So basically we had to put in an application in November of last year. And at the end of that process, we heard from NASA that we've been selected. So what this means is they will find a ride for us, but at the moment we don't know what ride. So The most likely outcome is that we're on a crew resupply mission to the space station. We're taken up to the space station. Some astronauts then put us in a deployment mechanism on the space station, and at some point they shoot us out into space. The solar panels deploy. We start acquiring sunlight so that we can have power. We turn everything on, we check it out, make sure everything's working, and then after we've worked out everything's working, then we turn the instrument on and we start acquiring science data.
That was Rob Wright, the principal investigator of HiTi, an expensive shoebox-sized satellite testing out technology for future long-range NASA missions.